What a fun morning. I really like biblical stories like the one in our lesson this morning. It's one of those Bible stories that I can picture in my mind's eye. I can imagine what it was like to be there listening to Jesus. As this story begins, the disciples have just heard Jesus' counsel in the first part of the lesson, that they should forgive one another up to 7 times for the same sin. Now these disciples are in a bit of a panic, because Jewish law demands forgiveness for the same sin only 3 times. And here, Jesus is asking for double that plus one. And so how do the disciples react? They cry out, "Increase our faith." Jesus' reply suggests that they don't need more faith. What they have is enough. He says, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, "Be rooted up and be planted in the sea," and it would obey you. Rather than telling the disciples how to increase their faith, how to make it bigger or better or stronger or more able, Jesus simply suggests that the disciples need faith, but faith only the size of a mustard seed. Nothing more. Now, faith is not a growth industry or much of a marketable item. It's not subject to the laws of supply and demand. Faith is ours by God's grace. It's a gift, and it can't be measured or quantified. The amount of our faith may seem minute, inadequate to the task, ridiculous for the size of the difficulties that all of us have to encounter in life. But Jesus is telling us that our perception of size is immaterial. The distinguishing characteristic of our faith is our openness to how God's power might be used in us. Our faith need not be measured or compared, because the vast power of God's grace can't be measured or compared to anything that we know. Even a tiny grain of faith can open us to God and to God's taking on the impossible for us. Jesus uses the example of a mulberry tree, which probably was growing close by where he was talking to the disciples. Now, the mulberry tree was well known in those days and even today for its extensive and pervasive root system. So dangerous and fast growing that there were city ordinances against planting a mulberry tree too near a water cistern. Uprooting a mulberry tree would be a very, very tough job. And planting a mulberry tree in the sea is an image of both improbability and impossibility. Jesus says all we need to do the impossible is the faith the size of a grain of mustard. Now, we kind of move into a new section here in this reading, where it presents an even more difficult challenge for us reading today. Jesus uses the example of the master-slave relationship. And that's a relationship that we're extremely uncomfortable with culturally. But Jesus' example is drawn from the slave owner economy of his day, and it's not transferable to the employer-employee kind of economy. The meaning of the parable has to do with works and righteousness. The notion that God owes me something for all that I have done for God. We're reminded that we're never saved or justified by our works, but only by faith, by grace through faith. Now, the apparent severity of this passage should be balanced against other passages in Luke's gospel where the master and slave analogy is used. In the 12th chapter of this gospel, faithful slaves will be served by their master. In the 22nd chapter, Jesus declares himself as I am among you as one who serves. Jesus viewed himself as one who led and who was led. He was both free on one hand and bound by his relationship to God on the other. So it is with us. We're both leaders and followers. We're free, yes, but we are completely bound to God. We're called to be among each other to serve, but we're never to be servile in our relationship to God or each other. What we're really talking about here is ethics, biblical ethics. And the biblical ethic we're called to embrace is a love ethic. It's an ethic that frees us from dominance and submission and control. This is something different. It is relational and generative and doesn't aim to control or diminish the power of the other. This ethic aims at mutual empowerment, and it claims freedom from enslavement. This is the Christian ethic of power. But it is the power and the freedom that we gain with each other through love. Unfortunately, I think the comments attributed to Jesus in this 17th chapter don't reflect the usual generosity of Jesus' teachings. We can only conclude that Jesus was trying very hard to teach a difficult lesson by using an extreme example. Or even perhaps, as some scholars suggest, this may not be one of Jesus' original parables, but may have been added to the gospel much later. But even though Jesus might not have taught this particular parable, the Christian ideal of being one who serves is certainly consistent with the teachings of Christ. As a congregational church, we recognize the work of the laity. We did so this morning. We do so with so many of you. It's good to be reminded of the enormous amount of work that is done around here in the name of faith and love. And much of this work, I have to admit, is servant labor, which the giver gives generously and without resentment or petty pride. All of your labor for the church and for those less fortunate in places other than this add up to a tremendous testimony of goodness and commitment to love. I mean, how many times have I heard when I stop to thank someone, oh, it's nothing. And how many times have I thought to myself, it's a lot. But big things can come from small efforts. Jesus made it clear in the gospel that the realm of God doesn't start out on a grand and glorious scale. The realm of God starts out small. It begins in each one of us. It begins with something no larger than a mustard seed. No act of love too small or so insignificant that it fails to make a difference in the unfolding of God in this place. It's the tiny grains of our faithfulness that the love of God is encouraged to grow, to take hold of us. You saw that in those young people. God's love in us starts just that way, with something tiny, as small and fragile maybe as a warm handshake or greeting someone by name. Those kinds of things can communicate the most powerful of all realities, and that is the love of God. Perhaps the realm of God starts out so small within us, so that we won't shrink away from the enormous truth that we're invited to share. For it's nothing less than the kingdom of heaven right here in our midst, right here on earth. A mustard seed, a mission trip, helping a child to Sunday school, serving on a board, cooking a meal. They're all so small. They all can seem to be of no consequence in the grand scheme of things. Somehow we assume that it takes something huge to demonstrate faithfulness. But even something this small can communicate the largest and most powerful of all realities, and that is the love of God. Desmond Tutu, the Episcopal Bishop of South Africa, who was recognized for his ongoing work against apartheid, was once asked to recall the formative experiences of his life. And he replied, "One incident comes to mind immediately." He said, "When I was a very young child, I saw a white man tip his hat to a black woman. Now please understand," he said, "that such a gesture in my country was completely unheard of. The white man was an Episcopal bishop. The black woman was my mother. Perhaps the whole direction of a life was changed because of that simple gesture of respect, that simple gesture of love. We assume that in order to make the world a better place, we need to somehow increase our faith, make it bigger, deeper, better than it is. We assume, as all Americans do, that bigger is better, more powerful, more noticeable. Then we'll be able to make a difference. Then it will be better. But you know, our God does not ask more from us than we have. And sometimes all that we have is not any larger than a mustard seed. In this lesson, Jesus does not say that we can do great things only if we have our faith increased. He says that God will do great things, even establish a home on earth, if we dare but plant the tiny seed of faith that has been entrusted to us. And so, I plead with you. Let us plant. Let us continue to plant that seed and nurture it. And it will grow. Amen.